This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Monday, so happy Monday to everybody out there. What a gorgeous weekend it was. You are listening to The Pulse, and it's Food for Thought. You can stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And we have a packed show for you as usual. Today is Healthy Monday, so shortly we'll be joined with Rocco Boulay of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check them out on the web at IntegrityFit.com. And then we have a really special treat at 1:05. I'm very excited to say that we will be able to talk with Miss America Outstanding Teen, Allie Nault. She will be calling us live from down in Florida. And she's been there for the past week. And as most of us probably already know, she won the title from New Hampshire.
So I don't know that they've ever had a New Hampshire winner in that competition before.
Well, I was reading the last time a win of this magnitude was in 1991 by Janelle Bishop.
In that same competition?
I believe it is in that same competition.
Because there's never been a Miss America from New Hampshire.
I looked that up on the Wikipedia, Miss America Outstanding Teen, and that's what it said.
Well, Wikipedia has gotten a lot more accurate. I typically don't go to them, but I did see a piece on 60 Minutes last weekend and heard something on NPR a couple weeks before, the guy that founded it and what they go through to be as accurate as they possibly can. They agree that not everything is 100%, but I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. So. Well, do you know that if you Google Blue Plate Special, do you know what comes up?
Red Arrow Diner?
It does.
Nice.
The Red Arrow Diner Mo mugs come up, and my Blue Plate Special neon sign comes up.
So that's the first thing that comes up?
It
wow.
is.
Wow.
It's very cool.
Because a lot of diners have Blue Plate Specials, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Red Arrow's on Wikipedia under Blue Plate Special.
Gotta love that.
Very cool. Very cool. And then a little later on, we'll be joined with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America. We love talking with him because he's so... very interesting foodie guy.
Yeah, he is a foodie guy, and he's really, really passionate about getting people to eat as local as they can, because chances are the food's going to be better for you. There probably aren't chemicals on it, and probably the soil has not been, you know, vitamined out as it happens the way the crops are rotated. So I'm learning a lot from him. I'm learning a lot from Randy Clemens, who's here every other Monday. Well, they were both here together last week, so it was like a double shot of intelligence into my brain about
food intelligence.
Food, yeah, yikes. Exactly, and we can never get enough of that, right?
True, it's amazing the things you learn. I mean,
well,
it's pretty cool.
It does make you think twice though sometimes, and I think some people don't want to think about that. So I apologize if we load you down once in a while, but it's better to have knowledge. If you want to ignore it, that's fine.
It totally is, and you know, I have to say when I go. You know, grocery shopping now, I pay much more attention to what I'm buying and, you know, what it is, where it's coming from, checking, you know, packages and labels and stuff like that. So, you know, it does, you know, a little bit each week, it drills in, you know.
Maybe, you know, you and I are of the generation when that wasn't done. There weren't,
right.
I'm not even sure when food labels really, the FDA or whoever it is that administers that, really started to happen. And I'm sure I was late to the party because you just ate what mom put on the plate.
And you had to eat it all.
And you had to eat it all. I don't remember if
that
was the case.
Thus, here I am.
No, stop. And I didn't eat much, so thus, here I am.
I was made to eat it.
Oh.
That's the difference.
I don't remember if that was the case in our house.
Oh, my.
I don't think it was you'll sit at the table until you finish it type of thing. But I'm sure it was brought up.
That's how I was.
It was the starving children in China. What about at your
exactly.
house?
Exactly.
Starving children in China. What are they talking about? They're starving children
everywhere.
Yeah, in New Hampshire.
Terrible.
But
absolutely terrible. Yeah. No, I remember a specific time, too. It was a Saturday morning, and I insisted on pouring my own cereal into the bowl. And for some reason, I had a big bowl. I don't know if the other ones weren't clean. I don't know, but it was a big. And my mother said, you better be careful because you don't want to pour too much. I'm like, no, I can do it. I can do it. Well, I poured it. And, you know, kind of like the Cheerios box, you know, when you tilt it and then all of a sudden, well, it all filled up. She made me sit there till I ate it all.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
So you probably ate almost the whole box.
I'm not kidding. It wasn't funny. I don't like Cheerios to this day.
No, don't you really? I saw an interesting trivial fact about Cheerios today. What were they what were they originally called? They weren't originally called Cheerios. It's fairly close to what it is now.
Yeah, we did a a trivia on that, Michelle and I, one time, and I don't remember though.
Cherry oats.
Oats, right?
Yeah,
right. It was pretty. It's pretty simple.
I lived in Toledo, Ohio, for 7 or 8 years, and there was a General Foods plant there that made Cheerios. So depending on the wind and,
you smelled Cheerios.
Yeah, but I mean, it smelled good.
I bet it did.
You know, especially they just got done being roasted and they'd be wafting over the area.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
That must have been pretty cool.
On the other hand, when I lived in Northvale, New Jersey, which is suburban New York, when I was working in New York City, I lived near the English leather plant.
Ooh.
So, depending again on the wind on any given day, you might smell men's cologne wafting through your neighborhood.
Ooh.
I think I'll stick with the Cheerios.
Yeah, I
much
like better
the Cheerios smell.
Better too.
But I'll tell you what, if you live near a cheese factory, they stink. I remember one in northern Michigan, we'd drive through town and there's lots of little cheese plants. Bad smell.
Ooh.
Bad, bad smell.
That must be terrible for the people that live there, although
probably.
I guess they must get used to it, I imagine.
I would think.
I don't know.
Well, beats living near a sewage plant, right?
Gosh,
so we've covered all the stinks.
So I had a great weekend. We went to Newfound Lake.
Well, you definitely have what I'd call a sunny weekend look about you today.
Yes, we went to the lake. Mm-hmm. We left on Thursday afternoon, mm-hmm. and we didn't come back until yesterday.
Oh, good. And the weather was fantastic, wasn't it?
Perfect. Mm-hmm. It was really, really nice. And yeah, we didn't do a whole lot. We drove around.
You're
a
not
bit.
Supposed to.
On Friday, we drove around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We went to canoe, actually, in Center Harbor. And, we had a great time. Had nice and mild and, mm-hmm. Didn't do a whole lot. Michelle came up to visit us on Saturday. Well, this is kind of funny. Michelle comes up to visit us on mm-hmm. Saturday. And there's a diner there I like to go to. It's an authentic O'Mahony diner. No, I'm sorry. It's a Pollard diner. Sorry. Okay. It's a Pollard diner. One of two that were made. And it's right in Bristol. And... Well, we're sitting there, and we're sitting at the booth, and I look over, and they have, like, this, table, and it has, like, the papers on there and stuff like that. And then they were selling a book, but I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't mm-hmm. quite see it. And I'm like, does that say Diners on it? So it was this book right here.
Classic Diners of New Hampshire.
By Bruce Heald.
Now, that's different than our buddy Larry Caltrara.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I pick this book
up. Oh, wow.
And I'm like, wow. I go, that's kind of cool. Well, I'm holding it like this, and Michelle's sitting across from me. She's like, well, the red arrow's on the back cover. I go, it is not. I turn it around, turn off the red arrow.
There it is.
And then I'm like, I've never even seen this book. And I'm pretty up on when they have diner books come out. I have them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at the credits, and my name is in there. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, that's kind of strange. But it's a great book.
When did it come out?
2014.
Oh, so it's pretty new.
Yeah,
okay.
It is pretty new, but why I didn't know anything about it, I have no idea. But The Red Arrow, it has quite a few good articles in that. It's
all right,
really
so here's the question. Did the person who wrote the book ever reach out to you for quotes about the stories?
You know, I get a lot of, calls like that mm-hmm. that I do, contribute to.
Okay.
When we looked up this, usually the name will click in my head,
yeah,
but,
right.
I am getting older, so I don't know. But we did Google him, and I mm-hmm. guess he's a professor at Plymouth State University,
okay.
which that still didn't click in my head. But when I shared it with Amanda this morning, mm-hmm. she thinks that she remembers. She was going to look up some emails.
Well, it's interesting that two books about diners in New Hampshire would come out within 12 months of each other.
Yeah.
I would think one is enough, probably. It's not
would
that
think.
Big a state.
It's a really nice one. They get nice pictures in there.
I like the cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it was funny. I picked it up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm in there.
Well,
and then the waitress comes over, and she goes, oh, yeah, we're in there. I'm like, yeah, she is too.
Well, I mean, it's tough to imagine any kind of diner discussion without Red Arrow being in there somewhere, for the most part, if somebody's doing a thorough job. Because you've had a lot of publicity and
yes.
more notoriety than most. Remember, there was one in Lowell, the Three Owl Diner? Four Sisters.
Four Sisters Diner.
Yes.
Yep.
And
that is related to the one in Tingsboro.
Isn't there the Owl Diner, too? Isn't there, one?
There is an Owl Diner.
Yes.
There's two of those are the two in Lowell, and then mm-hmm. it's their niece that owns the one in Tingsboro, right on the line.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, the name is just.
I think I know where you mean.
Yeah.
I think it's right along the river.
Mary Beth is her name.
Mm-hmm.
That runs that one. She's a really cool lady. When I get out there, we'll get together and chat. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, good diner talk. Hey, Midtown Cafe providing me with a really delicious sandwich today.
Vegetable panini.
Vegetable panini. So it looks like it had lettuce, tomato, and then some cheese.
Lettuce, tomato, red onion, and cheese.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Panini. I don't know what kind of cheese it was, but it
whole
was...
whole grain. I think provolone. Provolone and cheddar.
Oh, man.
With a chipotle mayo
dipping. Well, that's, you know, I mean, I like paninis, especially that healthy, and it was on a, looks like a multigrain
or
a wheat.
It was on multigrain.
Okay. So then you gave me this little cup of chipotle mayo that just pretty much set my mouth on fire.
So good.
But it didn't get into the way of the food. I mean, yeah. You saw me dipping in there. It was delicious.
He woofed it down, listeners.
I woofed it down. Because typically, here's the thing.
Picture.
This is kind of messed up my daily eating routine. So I have breakfast maybe between 8 and 9. I don't really want to have lunch before I leave at 11. So then I get home at, say, 2:30 or 3, and I'm looking for potato chips. I'm eating all the stuff I shouldn't be. So today, I think you saved me from
good.
That. It was a healthy meal, and I feel satisfied. And thank you very much.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
In fact, the chipotle mayo was very similar to the color of your dress.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. Yours is a little bit more on the coral side, but very pretty.
I got this at Benton Shoe. Thank you.
Benton Shoe?
Yeah,
oh,
right upstairs.
Right downtown. Oh,
right here,
right above us.
Oh yeah. It's bad when because they're right there. I go by and I'm like, ooh.
I hope you got a deal.
I did. It was on sale. Yeah. Cool. But today's food holiday is National Watermelon Day. How appropriate for middle of the summer.
It's good. I'm not a big watermelon guy.
I like watermelon. You know, I like it when it's like, you know, rich red and, mm-hmm. you know.
Away from the rind.
Yes, definitely away from the rind. Yeah. And I do like it. I do. So anyway.
Doesn't do much for me, although I know it's good for it. It's mostly water and
it is.
Yeah, a little bit of sugar in it. But
there was a few statistics on it, which I kind of thought that. Did you know that there's over 1,200 varieties of watermelons?
I can't believe that.
Really? 1,200 varieties grown in 96 countries.
All right.
China is the number one producer of watermelons.
Really?
Yeah. I found that kind of...
Well, it grows very well in this latitude, so hopefully we're not eating too many Chinese watermelons this time of year.
Watermelon was designated as the official vegetable of Oklahoma.
Okay.
In 2007. No mistake, it is the state vegetable, the watermelon. Hmm. And the largest watermelon in 1990 was grown by Bill Carson of Tennessee, weighing 262 pounds. And then just one more. Richard Lefebvre set a world record for eating watermelon. He ate 11 and a half pounds in 15 minutes.
Well, then he peed for a week and a half.
The whole rest of the day.
Have you seen what they've been doing? Well, I think they started this in Japan. They started making square watermelons.
I saw that.
As soon as they start growing.
I saw that
growing.
On Food Beast or one of those last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
I was trying to order one because I wanted to get one
in.
Oh,
really?
But I couldn't find any place
to get
one. You
could probably, grow one yourself or find somebody that's got a garden. I don't know how they do it, but I would think that as soon as it's, it starts budding, you put it in a little box and it just grows within the confines of it. I don't know.
Strange. I don't know.
Well, see, the good thing, though, you can stack them. They're not going to all roll away.
Yeah. So. I guess. All right. I think we need to go on break. Rocco is in the green room waiting. And it's Healthy Monday. Rocco Boulay is up next. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. Check them out on the web at integrityfit.com. With locations in Londonderry and Manchester. And coming very soon, we'll get an update on that when Rocco comes in of North Conway. So
love
stay tuned.
North Conway.
I know. So fun. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 12:31 on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin on Food for Thought, brought to you by Healthy Solutions Spice Blends online, spiceblends.com. And speaking of healthy, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, and coming soon to North Conway, New Hampshire, your coaching solutions company, integrityfit.com. Two of our wonderful sponsors, couldn't do it without them.
There you go. And, well, it's a healthy Monday, so you know what? I forgot to make a little announcement earlier. It's Brittany's birthday upstairs in Midtown Cafe.
Oh, Brittany.
So we need to say happy
birthday
Brittany.
Hey,
Brittany.
Where is she? I can't see her.
She's 23.
Oh, she is.
I'm like, 23? Really?
What would you give for 23?
No kidding.
I don't want to be 23 again. Just too many confusing
things.
Well,
23 and know what I know now.
Well, of course. Of course. You can't have it both ways.
I know. I guess not. So welcome, Rocco.
No, thanks, guys. Good
nice
to be
to see
back.
You.
And I'm glad I'm here again, and I heard you talking about melons earlier. So, what do you think about that cantaloupe?
That one would be tough to slice into. He says, flexing his right bicep.
Yes, there isn't any room in the.
He's showing
the
off.
Building. Oh yeah,
Ron is showing off.
How many times will you walk up to a woman? Like women will walk up to a guy who is staring at her chest and say, "Look up here, please." How many times do you say that to women who are staring at your guns?
Never. I invite them.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. He's got it on tattooed. Look here, ladies.
Yes. Welcome to the gun show.
Welcome to the gun show. The NRA wants to license him, so there you go.
Yeah, so anyways, happy Monday, Carol. Do you have any sins to confess to me this
None.
Father Rocco is in the confessional.
I have none.
None?
None.
Okay.
None.
Nothing? You didn't touch anything bad this whole weekend?
Well, 80-20.
Oh.
All right, what's 80-20?
How do you measure that, by the way? What's your calculation?
80-20. Really? No, it's all
Carol,
good.
Carol, I'm just teasing you. You started teasing me, so, you know, I turned it all around on you.
Because I said Rock and Ron?
Oh, no, not at all.
What did I do?
You just basically, you know, started on me right away. It wasn't the Rock and Ron thing.
Oh, we have a little spat going
Uh-oh.
On right here.
No,
I may have to jump in.
She's like that little sister I'm going to keep
oh,
in mind.
Oh, I see. So I'm going to guess 80% of the time you're right on the money. 20% you're enjoying a few things that perhaps are not on the pre-planned list.
Exactly.
Is that how that works?
That is exactly how it works.
Yeah, I just don't know that, you know, when you tell people 80-20,
right.
how they calculate that, especially
right.
when they were really bad at math in high school.
Oh, right. Know? Well, you must do some 80-20s.
And sometimes I think the 80 part is the bad side.
Oh. You know?
We have to divine that
to
really
clearly.
To
be honest, it might have been 70-30
oh,
this
no,
weekend.
You don't want to give in any ground, Carol.
It's
I'm trying to help
slope.
You out
well,
here.
Well, I'm just trying to be, you know, on because if Daryl's listening right now, because
you know he'll text me or call me later on, right, Daryl? And I really love that whole, you know, text thing that you guys have set up with Carlo down there at Puerto Vallarta. So if I'm there, you know, there's a
comes right to you.
They send me a text like I'm there. Carol's not coming, just in case. Is that true, Carol?
Lets me know.
Does he let you know?
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Huh?
Wow.
The sinners don't want to go with the saints. Are.
No, apparently not. But the sinners have a lot more fun.
Yes,
I think.
Okay, so what do we have on tap today? Let's change the subject.
Wow, look at that, huh? That's mm-hmm. quite a diversion.
Smooth move on your part, Carol.
No. Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I thought so.
Well, we know that we're going to discuss your hormone panel later today, right?
Okay.
Did you forget about
me? No, 2:30.
Hormone panel. Now, what was this, a blood test or a saliva test?
It's actually saliva.
Okay.
And the reason why we use saliva testing as opposed to what normally we mm-hmm. see in blood is because there's different ways to look at hormones in your body. In the blood, they're actually attached to proteins or carrier molecules that keep them bind. In other words, it's the pickup truck that takes the hormone to a particular cell in the body. Well, at the saliva level, we are looking at what's called unbound hormones or what's free hormones that are specific or are on those tissues at that given point in time. So we can really see what's happening on that tissue level versus what's in the blood we don't really care about because it's not on the tissues yet. So we can't tell whether or not it gets from the plasma to the tissue and how it's affecting either the lack of growth or overgrowth of certain tissues in the body. For instance, women who have higher levels of estrogens in their bodies via, you know, the pesticides and herbicides and foods that mimic estrogens. There's some cosmetics out there that are called parabens that also mimic estrogens and progesterones and different hormones that are female related that can wreak havoc in the endocrine system in people's bodies. So we take a look at those things and we try to figure out how to rebalance them or figure out where they're coming from so that we can put a stop to that.
And mine came back high.
One particular hormone, and we won't really discuss what that hormone is. Well, I'll talk about it later on at 2:30, but I think that was because of a misconception that you and I had during our talk about that to begin with, so we'll straighten that out. But all in all, you don't look too bad.
Good.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. But when you take a look at other people who have been exposed to what we call exogenous or we call xenoestrogens in the environments, they typically overload the body, and women can come up with all kinds of problems that are related to, you know, their sex parts. You know, they have fibroids, which a lot of women are suffering from, endometriosis, mm-hmm. polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, which is a growth that's related to excess amounts of testosterone in the body, in the female body. That, you know, you only need so much, and this conversions that happen with other hormones to make testosterone causes problems. Then you take a look at lots of the, even the cancers, the early cancers of uterine, breast, ovarian cancers. A lot of those cancers are estrogen-positive cancers that can be somewhat downregulated or stopped by rebalancing the hormones inside the body. And it's a cheap and very effective, non-invasive way to handle some of those situations.
So how do you go about rebalancing? I'm kind of intrigued by this.
Well, first of all, we have to find out if these levels are high to begin with. And if they are high, then basically what we do is we can do what's called a hormonal cleanse. And because most of the sex hormones are made from cholesterol, I don't know if you know that, but cholesterol is the backbone of all of your sex hormones. And when you have cholesterols in your diet, the body will actually take that cholesterol and will add different subgroups or chemical groups to that to make it an estrogen or a progesterone or a testosterone or a DHEA or androstenedione or any one of these other, you know, hormones that are in the body that are related to the sex hormones. And it makes it for what it's used for. And it's called a physiological balance. And when you don't have physiological balance, then all kinds of problems can arise from that, such as the ones I just noted earlier.
Hmm. So should I reach over and have a stick of butter to increase the cholesterol and the hormone-carrying part of my anatomy?
Good question.
Maybe, or just so. Pop a blue pill, which, yeah, what?
Well, that's actually, I can get into that a little bit. So let's
Please do.
Let's think about the little blue pill thing. We'll mm-hmm. talk about men for a second here. Think about what's happened over the last, say, we'll say 20 years with statin drugs or cholesterol drugs, okay? Now these, I guess the medical community would say that anybody over a 200 milligrams per deciliter mm-hmm. in your body would be considered too high.
Or even lower in some cases.
Yes.
I've heard it lower, right.
But we're looking at, you know, high cholesterol mm-hmm. levels, where in France, the average male over 50 years old has the average cholesterol of about 235 milligrams per deciliter of blood, right? And that's a true fact. But yet they have a lower incidence of cardiovascular disease. How come?
The good cholesterol.
Because it's the good, right.
Not only the good cholesterol, but they also have a diet that's rich in other antioxidants that doesn't create inflammation inside the body. But in our case here in the United States, now think about this for a second, and you're going to have to jump to some conclusions here as I say this, but so many people have gone on statin drugs, and you know what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention any names.
Simvastatin, and, you know, those goes on.
I'm not going to mention the name, but you can if you like.
Okay.
People have taken these to get their cholesterol levels down, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if testosterone and all the other sex hormones are made from cholesterol, mm-hmm. what happens to a man who lowers his cholesterol level so low, and now he can't make testosterone? What does he do?
Doesn't chase his wife anymore.
Right. Or he needs a little blue pill to go
he
get it.
He needs a little blue pill, yeah.
So therefore, you know, you're buying one pharmaceutical to end up mm-hmm. buying another one, when the reality is it cholesterol can be healthy in the right physiological balance, but if you have inflammation in your body, it can be harmful. But if there's no inflammation, then it appears that there's no problem with it.
Very interesting. Hadn't heard that.
So if you want to have some butter, it's only if you need butter. If your cholesterol levels are
well, it is blue low. Butter now, but I look at it, it's a little old.
I maybe should change that, huh? It's still looking a little
yellow.
I've
never heard of Cialis butter before. What the heck?
I think we need to take a break.
No, we don't. I'm liking this. No, I'm only kidding. All right.
All right, we're going to take a little short break right now so Michael can cool down, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
We'll borrow that fan.
In studio with Rocco Boulay of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. Stay tuned. And also at the top of the hour, we'll be talking with Miss America's outstanding teen, Allie Nault. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Healthy Monday. It is Monday. We have Rocco Boulay in-house. We're talking about hormones and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't sure what to say.
We were talking about the little blue pill.
The little blue pill, and Mike had some questions, and yeah, it's been very interesting.
I learned stuff that you don't typically learn just reading or going to mainstream websites about health.
Yeah, so
because you kind of break it down for us, it totally makes sense.
During the break, we talked a little bit about that. So if you had to spit that back out, what we spoke about cholesterol and its link to the formation of testosterone and statin drugs, what did you get from our conversation?
Well, basically, if you're not putting good stuff into your body, there's a certain cell reproduction or copying that goes on through all different variations of your body through the DNA system. And if it's copying the master, which is not being fed healthily or properly, all that reproduction is going to happen in parts of your body, which will lead to breakdowns, cancer, stuff like that.
Yeah, that was the conversation about
about it's my take on it.
Protein synthesis, but I was talking about how cholesterol is part of the testosterone molecule, and that people who are on statin drugs who don't have enough cholesterol typically won't make enough testosterone in order to be able to have a libido or sex drive.
Right, so key would be, for instance, I had guacamole last night. Is that the good cholesterol?
Well, there's some polyunsaturated fats in the avocado, but yes, you know, cholesterols can be healthy and they're very useful in the body. We can't live without them. It's just having a physiological
balance.
Sounds
like you can't have babies without them either.
That's right.
But isn't guacamole good fat?
It is
good fat.
But you got to remember, there's different types of fats too. So you have cholesterols, which are a form of fat. They're kind of a waxy fat. But you also have like fatty acids, like what you get from omega-3s and some of the unsaturated fats that you get from the avocado, which are basically they are long strings of carbon. That's all they are. But when they're saying unsaturated, that doesn't mean that they're totally saturated molecularly with hydrogen. I'm not going to get into the chemistry of it all.
Yikes.
But when they're not saturated with hydrogen or they're unsaturated, so to speak, they're easy for the body to break down because they are unsaturated. In other words, they have weaker chains or links in them so the body can break them down quicker for energy.
All right, so I have to ask you about something that shopping with Barb yesterday, and she's probably more aware of all this stuff than I am, but she picked up a product called Muscle Blank, and I looked at the panel of what's in it, and after water, I didn't recognize anything. I said, I don't know how this can be good for you because I don't know any of the stuff that I see on the panel. And I mean, it took up the whole length of the container. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, the rule of thumb is the less long the list is, the better it is, or more.
Are you familiar though?
Yes, I am.
Is that like a supplement talking? Vitamins and supplements?
I guess it is.
It's a protein drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But these companies actually have two different levels of protein, and I go through this with a lot of our customers at Integrity, is understanding the quality of the product in which you're purchasing. In other words, from our vendors, we actually have a higher quality of the same exact name, but the ingredients in ours is actually different than what you'll buy, say, at the local convenience.
Is it the same brand?
Same exact brand. Packaging looks the same. Yeah. I'll have an X.
So it's going to be probably more at your place because the quality is higher?
Not necessarily more.
I don't remember how much this was. It was a six-pack. I said, I don't think you want to buy
this. What it is really is in the retail side of things is that there's more markup for those people, so they may buy it at a better rate and still charge the same as what we charge. When we choose products for our shelves, we try to always look for the product with the best quality and the best value and the best effectiveness for our customers, because even some of the things that we sell, some of the, you know, the ready-to-drinks that we have in our, they contain things that we don't particularly care for, but they're a stepping stone to get people from eating complete nonsense to, you know, making that gradient shift on people. In other words, not everybody can sit there and say, I'm going to have a broiled fish and asparagus tonight, if that makes any sense. So we understand that we're dealing with people who have different levels of being able to accept that next step. And depending on the gradient of what they're willing to change, we have to have little steps along the way. So as coaches, we may not particularly like everything, but if we can make a better choice than the choices they've been making, and we help them get to.
So you would get them off of that when they get to the point where they're a little more educated or...
There is no substitute for the healthiest, cleanest foods there are on the planet, period. You know, sometimes I'll have a protein shake before I come here or before I go someplace. Is it better than going out and have a bagel with cream cheese? Absolutely. Way better. But it, sometimes it may contain, we talked about artificial sweeteners last week, right? Sucralose or some Splenda, if you will, that a lot of our drinks have that. And if they don't have stevia and they have Splenda, well, I'm getting things that are helping me make this thing taste good so I can drink it down. But on the other side of that, it's doing things in my gut flora that may not be optimal to my body's health. So there's a little bit of a trade-off. I'm not saying that a little bit of it isn't really that bad for you, but when you take a look at, you know, the toxicity of everything combined, for some people, it's just way too much.
Right.
So an 80-20 regimen, to get back to Carol, is probably okay.
Yes, if the 80 is the good side, that's absolutely right. And we know Carol's a good
side. And it wasn't 70-30. I just double-checked.
Obviously, she looks like she's doing quite well.
No, so. She does. She does.
Thank you.
Oh, Carol, you know I love you.
I love you, too. You know what I think was the most important thing that I got out of when you two were conversing back and forth? And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, you talked to different doctors, you know, like cardiologists and endocrinologists and ophthalmologists and so on and so forth. You know, you said it all goes, you know, with your mouth of what, you know, it all depends on what you're putting in your mouth. That is like so, when you said that, that was like a visual for me. It's like, you know, it's true. A lot of that stuff can be mostly all avoided by just watching what you are.
Yes. And
as simple as that.
Right.
But it's so hard, you know,
yeah,
really.
To reiterate that, so when you look at whether you're going to a podiatrist for your feet or, you know, a person who has probably feet problems, are because they're too heavy. You know, they have plantar fasciitis.
Exactly.
Well, that problem starts here, right?
Exactly.
Person who has cardiovascular disease.
Starts right there.
It starts again from the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a look at, you know, endocrine, you know, diabetes.
Yep.
Starts from your
mouth.
There. And you'll find that every single doctor will always tell their person you need to exercise and eat better. Almost everyone will give you that advice, and they walk out the door and they say, I don't know how.
Yep.
And they don't know how either, because doctors were never taught exercise physiology and nutrition to any huge degree to be able to design programming for people to say, well, if I have this particular condition, how do I treat it naturally so that it's less expensive on the healthcare system and it gives me the optimal amount of chances to get healthy and redeem my life?
So what type of doctor would be most inclined to deal with that kind of concept, a GP with a specialty in nutrition?
No, I would say.
Or is there no such animal?
No, naturopaths are pretty good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, doctors can, you know, have their own philosophies, and I've seen it, you know. I have my own philosophy as well, and I'm not saying that I'm 100% right or they're 100% wrong. All I'm saying is that each person sees health the way that they see it, and they have their own particular ways about going ahead and treating a particular patient. And for specialists, that's difficult, because if you are specializing in one particular area, that means that you don't specialize in another area. And herein lies the problem with many practitioners out there, because they specialize in one thing but are not really adept in all of the things.
Right.
So walking into a health food store, I'm sure you've done that, Carol. I've done that. I look at all the different things, the supplements, the vitamins, the powders, the shakes, the power bars, my eyes glaze over. So I guess the solution to that is just eat clean, and you won't have to deal with a lot of that.
Yes, and I think there's enough information out there. So if you have a particular condition, you can't always rely on even people who work at the vitamin stores. Mm-hmm. You know, their education is also limited, but educate yourself and find out what may work best for you. So try something that's non-toxic, something that's not dangerous, and go ahead and do something to improve the education of your own body. I mean, you are the master of your own destiny, so you have to, you know, take responsibility for it. Don't just give it to somebody else and say, here, you take care of me, because that doesn't work.
Be your own advocate, huh?
That's correct.
Sure. Okay, between your thoughts and your actions?
Between one ear and the other ear lies your brain? No.
And your mouth. And your mouth.
Yes.
So be careful what you're putting in your mouth.
Right? What comes out of your mouth sometimes.
Well, let's not forget, between your thoughts and your actions lies your ability to choose. Why not choose to think like Mike doesn't? Think healthy.
Most of the time.
Stay away from those little blue
Stay
pills.
Tuned. We'll be right back. Miss America's Outstanding Teen, Allie Nault, will be up next.
Have a great week, everybody.